Wonderful music and to our musicians. It's lovely. Okay, so fear of intimacy. Fear of intimacy. The most important intimacy, the one that really matters, the one that really lasts forever, is our intimacy with spirit, with that indwelling spirit within us. Now, the very word intimacy, into me see, begins to help us gain a little bit of understanding into this interconnection, this intimacy with spirit. That's what always lasts. We don't have to worry and fear that it will one day dissolve and leave us. Our human relationships can seem a little tenuous at times because they change, don't they? Nothing lasts forever, as you may have heard. And so at the human level, we see that life circumstances change, take people in and out of our lives, either through changing life circumstances or through passing into the next dimension through making their transition. And so sometimes it can make us feel a little scared, a little closed about giving ourselves, really freeing ourselves up to be totally connected with each other, with that beautiful face of God that each of us truly are. But we can be assured that the most important relationship of all, that relationship with our divine spirit, that presence and power of God within, will never leave us or forsake us. That we can always have with us. So our human relationships, at the human level, we think that they are an end to themselves, but that's not true. They were never intended to be like that. Our human relationships have the purpose, the right purpose of those human relationships is to bring us closer into a connection with spirit. And if we use them correctly, that's what they do. They lend us and lead us closer to that. So when we first meet another person, maybe it's in a love relationship perhaps, and we see the other person, we think, oh, this other person is so wonderful. This is what it's all about. And so at that point, we have some choices that we can make. We can either stay with that relationship and go through all the changes and the phases that relationships ultimately do go through, and we grow in the process, or we can just, as soon as we hit some rough waters, we can just ditch that relationship and keep on with that search for Mr. Right or Miss Wonderful. Or, you know, or sometimes a relationship is just not a healthy one and it doesn't need to continue, so we need to make that choice too. So we always have choices when it comes to relationships. But one of the things that can happen is that as we get into a relationship and it begins to go a little deeper, we can get scared. We can get scared because we have been under the illusion, as we say in A Course in Miracles, that that we are not worthy, we are not good enough. And so we put up these fronts, these personas, if you will, that are put up to convince the world and others that we are worthy. And so as we get deeper in a relationship, we're afraid that the other person's going to see the truth. They're going to know that we really are a phony, a fake. We're not really the good person that we would like for everybody to see. So that's one of the things that can happen. And we immediately put up our defenses when that happens. So some of the things that we might do are just pick up and run, or we can, sometimes we develop illnesses or accidents that keep us distracted. We put up distractions so we don't have to go deeper into the relationship. We can be dealing with other stuff on the surface instead of allowing ourselves to go deeper. Or we might just freeze up and just get paralyzed and not want to do anything, just kind of become emotionally frozen in the relationship. Or we can strike out with either physically with anger or with angry words and try to defend and deflect ourselves that way. Other things we do are talk incessantly, make inappropriate jokes or actions, get very self-righteous or resentful, or get sensitive about criticism. Those are all things that we're doing to try to hide from that, from knowing the inner being. And we get into all of our addictions. Don't we have addictions? We might have an addiction to, now I'm not claiming I have an addiction to Chico's, but I do like to shop there. So, but we can do things like overeating, and I've certainly had my share of dealing with that. Tendency to be compulsive about something. We might do drugs or smoke or gamble, act impulsively, act compulsively. There's lots of things we do. Marvin and I were watching a little special last night about John Denver and what happened with his plane wreck that killed him back in 97, I believe it was. And what it came down to was that the analysis of the person doing the show was that he had sort of a compulsive personality, and he would rush into something compulsively. And when he took his plane out that day, he just compulsively took off without enough fuel. And that's what happens. So sometimes our compulsive behaviors lead us into pain and destruction. So all of those things are designed by us inadvertently and in error to protect us from what feeling is within, what feeling is beneath that. And so as we get more comfortable with the divine idea, the idea that we are the face of God, that we are magnificent beings, as we get more comfortable with that, we're more willing to let that essence shine out of us, that golden essence within us shine forth. We're more willing to be vulnerable, to know that I'm on a path of growth just like everybody else is. I make what looks like mistakes just like everybody else, but I'm still okay. And when we get to that place of deep love and deep self-acceptance, then we can shed some of those layers. We can shed some of those personas that we've built up, that we've tried to convince others about, because we're not convinced. That's the whole idea, is to convince others because we're not. So when we really begin to come into that awareness of our true authentic self, we realize that's what I've been looking for all along. I've been looking for that joyful presence within, that peaceful presence, that presence of authenticity, just like our children have before that's domesticated out of them, according to Don Miguel Ruiz. We domesticate them out of their natural state of being. And so as we get back into that essence, we realize that's what I've been looking for. That's what I want to find within me. And it's there all the time. We just have to begin to trust it. And as we bring in more of an awareness of that, more of that light can shine through, and we're willing to let go of those defense mechanisms that are protecting us from the real truth. Now, I referred last week to the Golden Buddha that was found covered with plaster, and that is what we are. We're the golden essence, and these defenses that we have are the plaster that have covered us. But as that begins to chip away and the light shines through, we get to see that beauty of each other. And maybe you're feeling so defended at times that it feels like that light can't shine through. But when you're willing to relax a little and let people see the true you, they do see that. Marvin, I remember at one point in our relationship when he was acknowledging my light, which I did not grow up, I'll tell you about that in a minute, I did not grow up to know that that was there. He was quoting a Marlon Brando line in a movie. You may have remembered this. He said, "You're a one-eyed Jack, and I see the other side of your face." Now, you can take that either way, but you know, the truth is that we are only showing one side of our face. We're showing a fearful side that's protected and defended, but if we trust that the other side of our face is our beautiful being, then we can relax and be more authentic with each other. Because we believe that if we let somebody see us, that they will see the truth about us. But the truth is that we have taken lies in about ourselves. We've taken them from our family of origin, from society, that told us that we were bad, not good enough, guilty, and that's what we've believed is the truth about us. And so we're trying to project out an image. Abraham Lincoln, this is a quote, he said, "You can fool all the people some of the time and some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time." So we have been trying to project something to fool people because we don't believe it ourselves. So the first step is for us to believe it ourselves, us to believe in our innate goodness, us to believe in our light within, and then we can shine that forth and let others benefit from that light also. So I grew up with a terrible self-concept. I don't know if any of you have had this problem, but it's been a perpetual work for me to reveal my inner truth, to reveal my inner understanding. My parents meant well. I mean, truly they did. But my father had a narcissistic personality, and he was very good looking. So he had this pretty boy persona, and he was charming and a great storyteller, and so he was always out front. And my mother saw him, and she saw that that was a detrimental part of his personality, that it gained him advantages that were not truly authentic. And so she was always pulling the mask off and wanting him not to be like that. But he continued to progress in that manner, and she didn't want her children to be like that. So she never let us think that we were very important or very special. She always kept us humble and made us keep our light under a basket, a bushel basket, so to speak. And so I grew up feeling very insecure and very unseen for my true light within. So you can imagine what a stretch it was for me to go into ministry and be a public speaker. Because here I have to stand in front of you and tell you the truth about me. It's like living in a fishbowl, you know. And so that was a great stretch for me to do that. But what I've learned is that I can be real. That's what you really want to hear from me, is who I really am, what's really going on. That I can be authentic, I can be real, and you're going to love me anyway. That is just a magnificent thing, and that's what I want you all to know too about yourselves. That you don't have to pretend. You can be authentic. You can tell the truth about who you are, and people are going to love you anyway. In fact, they're going to even love you more because they're going to feel their connection with you. So it's safe. It's safe. We don't have to have a fear of being intimate in that way. Now, also, it makes us more understanding of each other, because if I can be authentic with you and I can see the truth about you, then I allow you to grow as I'm growing, and we grow together. We support each other in this process. Now, I was 17 when I met Marvin, and we married when I was 19. So I've been married for a very long time, very large part of my life, and I think my soul knew when we married that it was in for a lot of growth, a lot of expansion, a lot of good things, but a lot of spiritual growth too. Because you see, I was looking for Prince Charming. I don't know if any of you have ever been there looking for the one who's going to rescue you from all your problems, all your troubles, rescue you from growing up. That was what I was looking for. But Marvin wasn't looking for that. He was looking for a partner. He was looking for an equal partner, someone to be an adult with, someone to share life with. And, I mean, how dare he? I was looking for someone to take care of me. And it was not a match for a while because of the stretch, the challenge for me. But thank goodness I was able to relax and realize the benefit of growing up, the benefit of taking responsibility, the benefit of being who I authentically am. Thank goodness I was able to ride through that wave and realize the benefit of that. So I'm sure that I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing today if I hadn't had that experience of having to claim my authentic self and grow up and work and move from that. So Marianne Williamson, who is the author of the book that we're studying on Wednesday night, A Return to Love, which is based on A Course in Miracles, she wrote another little essay called Our Deepest Fear. And I've read it so many times, and I'm sure you've heard it from one source or another. It's been attributed to Nelson Mandela, but it actually started with Marianne Williamson. And here's what it says. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we're powerful beyond measure. It's our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people don't feel insecure around you. We're all meant to shine as children do. It's not just in some of us, it's in every one of us. As we let our own lights shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. And as we're liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. So as we give up trying to hide that light and let it shine, we are benefited, but other people are too. Other people are lifted up by that light and by our seeing their light. So it takes courage to do this. It takes courage to live our life because society doesn't necessarily support us in that. Society often tells us to be like we are, think like we think. You know, don't follow your own inner guidance, think like us. And so we're kind of herded into this mainstream mentality thinking, and they don't like escapees. So we're all escapees, you understand. We've all escaped from that mainstream mentality of thinking that it has to be a certain way and not listen to ourselves. So as we honor that self that we are and listen and follow that inner guidance, our path unfolds in a different way. And society and our families don't necessarily understand or like that because we've taken a turn away from the established way of thought and doing things. But we just have to keep moving past those barriers and not get stuck along the way, not get paralyzed with fear, but realize that we're uncovering something that's so beautiful. It's such a gift in the world to be able to give our true, authentic self. And that's what will benefit others, not just trying to be a cookie-cutter model of somebody else's way of how you should be, but being your true, authentic self. So intimacy has a sexual connotation, but that's not necessarily all that it's about. It's about any time that you're getting to know someone, that you're open and vulnerable at a deep level, especially at a level that we have expectations of other people. That's one thing that intimacy leads us into, is sometimes having expectations of how somebody else should be behaving, what they should be doing. It's about giving up control, not control over ourselves and our thoughts, because that's what we are responsible for, but over the thought that we can control somebody else's thoughts or somebody else's actions. One of my favorite stories about giving up control over other people's lives is the story about a woman with an alcoholic husband. You may have heard this story. And her husband would come home at night, and he was so drunk that when he would come home that he couldn't make it from his truck to the house without falling down on the lawn. And she was so afraid that he was going to lay there all night, and the neighbors the next day were going to see him when they came out in the light of day. So as soon as she would see his lights coming up the driveway, she'd hurry out, she'd scurry out to the truck, and she would help him get out and get into the house so that, you know, the secret wouldn't be known in the neighborhood. So at some point in time, she began to wake up a little bit and realize, I am really being codependent. This is not, she probably went to an Al-Anon meeting, and she realized, I'm really being codependent. I can't make him other than he is. So her sponsor talked to her and said, just leave him alone. He has to be responsible for his own behavior and his own actions. Just leave him where Jesus flung him. Leave him where Jesus flung him. So whenever I see myself getting into a codependent behavior, that's the thought that goes through my mind. I'm just going to leave them where Jesus flung them. So in case that can be a little lighthearted help to you. That way we don't have to shy away from feeling intimate by thinking that we're responsible for someone else's behavior. And if they don't behave the way we know they should, that it will reflect poorly on us. So when we're closely connected with someone, we can also fear that if they don't live up to their expectations of what they should do, our expectations of what they should do in their life, that we just can't stand it. We just couldn't live with that. So we have this real drive to want it to be a certain way. They just, it has to be this way. Either the other person or the situation in the world or something else, it has to be this way. It can't be that way. So as long as we're stuck with, it has to be this way, I want it, therefore it has to be, we're never going to be at peace. There's a next step that you can lead to, that you can step into, and that would be, I desire it to be this way. You know, can you feel the lessening from it has to be this way to I desire it to be this way? It's a little less. And then you can move into, I would prefer that it be this way. See, you're walking yourself up. Maybe you can't go from one straight to the other, but you can walk yourself up into a little less constriction. I would prefer it be. And then after you stay in that realization of preferring, you can say, well, you know, I might prefer it, but I really don't have to have a preference. It can be the way it is. It is what it is. I don't have to have it my way. So when we can move into that place of non-preference, we are truly at peace. We are truly at peace. Now, I'm not saying that we give up on our goals, our ideas, what our vision is, but we give up thinking that it has to be the way we see it in every moment in order for us to be at peace. Because that's just holding off our peace to some unknown time, because nothing is going to always work out exactly the way we think it should. There is a divine order and intelligence that's at work. And I don't know if you've noticed, but sometimes our individual thinking doesn't exactly coincide with that divine plan. But as we let go and just know that good will come forth, and we hold to that idea, we don't have to give up on that idea. We can always hold that good will come forth. We can let go of some of those details that might be making us a little bit miserable in the time. So just moving into that place of, well, it is what it is, and I will survive. I was talking to Bill this week, and he may not even realize, but I was talking, Bill's our board president, and we were talking about some things going on the board, and he said, well, we'll be all right. We can handle this. He's just reassuring me. What I heard was, it is what it is. And that's a very nice thing to remind each other of. And sometimes we can listen to the news a little too much, and we can think that we know exactly how things should be looking in the world, in our government, in a bigger picture. And we can make ourselves pretty miserable by thinking that it has to be the way I see it, instead of realizing that there is a divine idea at work, and it is coming through. And I don't have to wait to be at peace. I can be the peace I want to see in the world. I can be the peace I want to see in the world. I think that was Mahatma Gandhi's statement. Be the peace. Be the change you want to see in the world. So we can be that peace that we want to see in the world. We can move. If you can't get there exactly in one leap, just go from, well, I would desire this. I would prefer this. Huh. Maybe it's another way. Maybe there's good that's coming another way that's not according to my set of preferences. And just being okay with that. Now, that's not sticking our head in the sand. That's not abdicating our power. That's knowing that what we really want is peace. What we really want is right action and serenity and love. We have to be that first before we can project that out into our world. Otherwise, we're just out there, you know, stirring up trouble, just being a hothead and not doing anybody any good. So our greatest gift at this time in our world is to be fully involved with right action from a peaceful center, fully involved with what is ours to do, what is ours to accomplish, what good can I do from a place of peace, from a place of trust, a place of knowing that good is unfolding, and not getting upset and hot-headed about the details of what might be happening, but just holding on to that underlying truth that everything is unfolding for good, not needing to shut down, not needing to throw a temper tantrum about it, not needing to insist that it be my way, but just accepting the good that is unfolding in our lives, whether we can see it in the moment or not. So we're challenged to dance like nobody's watching, love like we've never been hurt, sing like nobody's listening, and live like it's heaven on earth. We can do this. We can do this. Thank you. So our affirmation is, I give myself fully to life, knowing that Spirit is always loving me, protecting me, and guiding me to greater good. Let's read it together. I give myself fully to life, knowing that Spirit is always loving me, protecting me, and guiding me to greater good. And so it is.